Right now, though, on our phone, we are joined by the Cowboys' most recent Hall of Famer, the former Cowboy great, held so dear by Cowboy fans everywhere. And it was our great pleasure to cover his exploits throughout his career here. The great Emmitt Smith is with us here. Hello.
Hi, Emmitt.
For some reason.
You got us?
Hello.
You got us, Emmitt? Uh-oh. Emmitt?
He was about to bring me in. Yes.
There?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, there we go.
See, Emmett, we're out in Oxnard.
Oh, you guys gone again?
Uh-oh.
I can't hear you.
We hear you. You got us?
I hear you guys now. Yes.
Wow.
Hello?
A little bit of a cluster F. We're out in Oxnard, and so it's technically almost impossible to sync up with somebody on the telephone, I'm assuming. But we figured it out. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Real good. It's a very beautiful, clear, sunny day out here at Oxnard. It might be the kind of thing that might make you miss training camp, Emmett.
I doubt that very, very seriously. I tell you what, the weather itself sounds so nice. I mean, it's hot down here. You know that already.
Well, you are just a few days removed. Well, first off, let's talk about what's coming up on September 10th, because you have a big role in this as well. The big concert out at the Cowboys Stadium with Tim McGraw. Let's make mention of that before we go anywhere else.
That's right. It's XLV Countdown Live from Cowboys Stadium, presented by Frito-Lay. A star-studded tribute to the 50th anniversary of Cowboys football and a celebration of Emmitt's Hall of Fame career. NFL Films has archived footage scored live by the 90-piece UNT Symphony Orchestra. There will be a rare public performance by Van Cliburn, a patriotic tribute to the NFL player, or by the NFL players' gospel choir, and a concert performance by Tim McGraw. Tickets are on sale now. Go to Ticketmaster.com or 800-745-3000. That sounds like a very, very big night, and I imagine you're quite thrilled to be a part of it.
Yes, I am. I'm excited about it. Anytime that you have an opportunity to be in the presence of people like Mr. Clyburn and be a part of the 50th anniversary of the Dallas Cowboys, along with Tim McGraw performing, a great country legend like himself, I mean, it's a wonderful thing. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I know it's going to be a great night, a fun night, obviously in a beautiful, beautiful stadium. So it should be excellent. Should be a fun night to be out.
And it's really the first time, you know, I know a lot of people went up there and probably checked out the Hall of Fame induction, but not, you know, the majority of people. This is going to be their first chance to really pay tribute to you and your career since that day. Has it sunk in yet that you're an official member, or you know, is that something that'll probably take some time?
No, it trust me. After last week, going through last week, yes, it has sunk in. Trust me. I had a schedule that was pretty hectic last week, and you know, just being able to go through the experience of being in the Super Bowl and now going through the experience of being inducted into the Hall of Fame with the class that I went in with, and Saturday night, everything was almost like a blur, and I'm trying to remember pieces and bits and bits and bits of pieces of it all. And so, I mean, but yes, it has sunk in, and I hear it on the street now, everywhere I go. People talking about the speech, talking about the message, they're talking about that whole moment.
It was very cool. It was
really a remarkable moment, and it was made even more remarkable, I thought, by the fact that you used no notes, no anything. You were just up there speaking from your heart. That was very, very neat.
Well, thank you. Thank you. To me, that's the best way I speak. Is when I'm speaking from my heart. I try to speak from my heart all the time, and that affords me the opportunity to tell the truth all the time. And sometimes telling the truth gets me in trouble. But at the end of the day, I meant everything that I said, and the people that I spoke about truly, truly have made a significant impact in my life.
Speaking of just football in general, something I've been wanting to ask you or someone of your caliber as a running back for a couple of years now, and that is, you know, if you were drafted today coming out of Florida, there's a pretty good chance that if you played on this Cowboy team that or any team in the NFL for that matter, that it would be some sort of rotation system. No matter how good a college career you had, now in the NFL, it's all about two running backs. A lot of times, even with, like what the Cowboys have, it's three running backs. How would that would have jived with you coming out of school? I mean, the league has changed, but still, knowing what you know now, would that have driven you crazy?
You know what? It's kind of hard to say. Because you talk about kids right now that has probably come out of a two-back system somewhat, even in college right now. I never came out of a two-back system in college until my last year when I rotated with Dexter McNabb and Willie McClendon. And so, and that was by choice. But outside of that, I don't know what it would have been like for me to be in a system where I had to rotate. I mean, we tried to do that with the Dallas Cowboys when I was playing, and for some reason, everybody got very comfortable with me being in on third down, and that was that.
You know, back in the day, and for years and years and years, it was all about the one-back system. Do you think it's, even though it seems to be working, and now we're just resigned to the fact that that's the way it is, that, well, every team needs two backs, three backs, whatever the case may be, do you find it more, I don't know, romantic's probably not the right term, but you think it was a better league back then with just the one-back thing?
You know what? I think the league is a copycat league. If you got the Dallas Cowboys have three running backs, trust me, someone else is trying to get three as well. I mean, if you look around, like you said, every team has a two-back system. And for the Dallas Cowboys and so forth, it is what it is. And I don't necessarily say that the backs during my era were better than the guys playing now, although we did play first, second, and third down. I was watching the Bears play San Diego yesterday, and I was watching Forte miss a block and get the quarterback sacked. I mean, that's what I had to do. I had to learn how to block on third downs and run the football at the same time and catch the football. So I think if you look at backs back in the 90s, yeah, we may be all around wise, we may be all around better. Right now, some of these kids are having hard times taking on defensive players, outside linebackers, as well as inside linebackers, and blocking. So, therefore, you got to find a combination of a blocking back that can catch the ball as well as run the ball, but also can block.
So, do you think that in the short time it seems like since you've been out of the game, the league has gotten that much more physical and that much bigger and that much faster to where one guy just can't take the physical pounding anymore?
I believe so. I honestly believe so. I think that in itself has had such a big impact upon how teams approach the running back position. It's a necessity now. You got to have somebody to back up your starting running back, and so it's extremely important to have guys that can step in and not miss a beat.
And it's good news for you because that makes your record probably all that more untouchable.
Well, I don't know if it's good news for me or not, because I think any time you have a record that someone is chasing after, and when they get close enough to break it, then all it does is just talk about truly what I was able to accomplish during my career and what this person is about to do once they eclipse this record. And so it's a great thing for the Dallas Cowboys. It's a great thing for me. It's a great thing for all fans, because all it does is just bring back memories of a fun time and a fun era. And so, but records are made to be broken. And I'll be the first to tell you, I hope somebody has a chance to get there someday and push that mark even to 19,000, if not 20,000.
This is Emmett Smith, the Cowboys' latest Pro Football Hall of Famer, with us here on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. Getting back to your induction ceremony, and, you know, we all saw it on TV and everything like that, and, you know, that's what we, the fans and the observers, see. But in the days and weeks leading up to that, I would imagine that for you, things are just one mad dash. It's Emmett, go here. Emmett, now you got to be here. Emmett, now you got to come over here and do this, or go over here and do that, shake this guy's hand. Is that pretty much the way it is leading up to it?
That's how it was when I was up in Ken, pretty much like that. It was like a complete schedule. Be here for an hour, be here for 2 hours, be here for three, practice this, work on that, go do this, go do that, go to sleep. Get up the next day, the same thing.
Do your kids have any semblance of how successful you were as a player and the records you broke, or do they ever sit around and say, "Hey, Dad, pull out the tape of the Giants game and the 93 divisional playoff game, or let's see a Super Bowl or something like that," or do they even care at all?
You know, my son, when he was much younger, when he was like 4 years old, he used to come into the office at the house, pop in the 93-94, the second Super Bowl, and watch the highlight tapes sitting in my office. Just sit there and watch the highlight tapes. He used to do that all the time. I don't see him doing that anymore. Maybe not seen enough. But the girls, on the other hand, you know, they see someone wearing my jersey. They used to talk about, why someone got your name on the back of their jersey, Daddy? Why are you autographing this? Et cetera, et cetera. But now, about a month and a half ago, my oldest daughter was over at the Cowboys stadium, and she saw my name up there and was asking certain questions. And so I never talk about what I did in terms of football-wise, but every now and then something pops up where the girls are a little surprised at what Daddy was able to accomplish.
That's cool. What are you most proud of when you look back at your career as far as the way that you played? Because, you know, you mentioned picking up blocking assignments, and I think running probably came pretty natural to you, and it was that way from the time you were 5 years old on. But do you look back and say, okay, I'm really proud of the way that I did block and protect Troy. I'm really proud of the way I caught the ball out of the backfield on third down. I'm proud of my longevity, my durability. What sticks out in your mind outside of just pure running?
There are three things that I'm extremely, extremely proud of. Number one was the way I was able to protect the quarterback. I was known as a blocking back. Number two, being able to stay healthy for 15 years or 13, as long as I was able to stay healthy to perform at the level I needed to perform. Number three, protecting that football. When I look at the number of times that I carried the football versus the number of times that I fumbled, I take extremely, extremely pride in protecting that football. I was so proud of the way I was able to protect it, put it that way.
What was the key to that? Because, you know, you guys like Adrian Peterson, he struggles with it mightily right now. What's the key to that?
Number one, you really truly have to understand that the football is the most important thing on the football field, no matter if you're on offense or defense. What is the object of the game? Protect that football, put it in the end zone. Offensively, I'm trying to put it in the end zone, and I don't want to turn it over. Defensively, I'm trying to turn it over and defend my end zone. So at the end of the day, the chess match is all about that football. Who can advance that football 10 yards on a consistent basis? And with Adrian Peterson, sometimes I believe is just that he's trying to do so much, and he has to understand when the journey is over. What are you fighting for, an inch, when you don't necessarily need an inch, when it's second and six, and you've got the ball, second and six, and you got the ball, and you're about a yard away from the end, from getting the first down, unless you can absolutely get it. But when you got two guys on your legs and you're fighting for the extra yardage, it's the third guy that comes in that hit you from behind and knocks the ball out. So that's what he has to understand, is how to protect the football, how to protect himself.
All right, Emmett, now I know you probably don't get a chance. You're a very, very busy man, and you probably don't get a chance to listen to our station that much. And I don't know if you heard, whenever you retired from football, there was a listener of ours who wrote a song for you, and he entitled it Emmett's Way. And it was done, it's kind of a ripoff of Frank Sinatra's My Way. Have you heard that song before?
Right.
Have you heard about, or have you heard Emmett's Way? Because he wrote this, you know, whenever you got out of the game, and we have played it, I swear it pops up on our station about once a week. Are you familiar with it at all?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, we want you.
I'm sure you're going to play it for me, right?
We have
just
to.
Just a little bit.
Look, all I want is your natural reaction. I swear, that's all. I've been dying for years to hear what you think of this, because this guy, he went above and beyond putting this thing together, and it really is like a touching tribute, but we kind of find a little bit of humor in it because he was so passionate about you. But we just want to play this will take like 45 seconds, and that's it, okay? So okay. we'll just listen to it. This is Emmett's Way.
Like it so far?
And now the time is here. Emmett will face the greatest of hurting. Parcells has made it clear. Jerry has made his case, of which he's certain. Emmett knew it was coming soon. The rumors were real, that's what they all say. But remember this, much more than all, he did it Emmett's way. Good times. He's had his share.
Yeah, that's enough. All right. I mean, look, the guy poured his heart and soul out for you, Emmett. He really did. But at the same time, it's like, it's a little overboard, right?
Yeah, it is a little overboard, but I tell you what, I was thinking about Elvis Presley at the time when he was singing it too. Oh, man, that's funny. I mean, what people do with the time that they have.
I know, man. I know.
All right, don't forget, September 10th, XLV Countdown Live from Cowboy Stadium, presented by Frito-Lay. It'll start at 7:30, and it will include a celebration of the great Hall of Fame career of Emmett Smith. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com or call 800-745-3000. Emmett, we appreciate the visit so much. Always great having you on, man.
And congrats.
All right, thank you, guys. Y'all take care.
All right. Emmett Smith, the Cowboys' latest Hall of Famer, with us here on the Ticket. He's what?
Go ahead, Danny. He is, I'm telling you, it's Staubach and then Emmett. 1A, 1B.
As far as what?
As far as the greatest football players to ever roll through here.